I've been wondering what I'm going to pass on to my children. As graduation season comes around, as we get through the month of May, as our Christian school graduates, as my fourth child graduates high school, yay, no more high school, yeah? I think to myself, what am I passing on to my children? What are you passing on to your children and your great-grandchildren? Some of you are parents, some of you are grandparents, some of you, even if you're not parents, you're parenting someone that you didn't even know. You have nephews and nieces. And what are we going to pass on to? It used to be so easy. I need a PB&J. Yeah, we got that, yeah. Or as they get older, can I hang out and stay around Tommy's house? And then they get a little bit more of it. Dad, can I drive your new car? And then the ultimate, would you move me next weekend? Oh, sure. It used to be so simple. And this week, as we think about our children, we think about, what is it that I'm going to pass on to my children? Am I going to pass on to them, if you have problems, ask God? My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. If you're new, I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you in the lobby after the service. And we're on week four, the final in our series of Royals. In this series, we've been looking at kings in the United Kingdom, of course, commemorating Charles III's commemoration. And we're thinking about those kings and how they relate to kings of our Bible. So the first week we talked about King Charles and how he's anointed in this 500-year-old chair and how we are anointed like King David because of our hearts. And the second week we looked at Queen Esther and how she related to Queen Elizabeth II and how both of them were accidental queens, but they were in a place just like you are for such a time as this. Last week we talked about King Saul and how he listened to everybody and how he listened to people so that he would be the right king and sometimes in a place where he would be also anointed, just like King George V, who was also never expected to be a king. Both of them listened, and we posted some people for you to listen to last week. Make sure you listen and plug into them. Or go back online and watch if you haven't listened to that sermon yet. This week in our final sermon series, we are talking about King George V, the king that was the father to King George VI, and how he relates to Solomon. Both of them asked God for something. Both of them sought God at some moment in their life. King George V came to the throne in 1910. Also, an unexpected king. His brother, Albert, died early at age of 28. And all of a sudden, he sees himself on the throne in 1910 after serving in the Royal Navy until he was 40 years old. When he came to the throne, because he loved the Navy so much, he was called the Sailor King. And this king ruled with an iron rod. He was pompous and kind of arrogant and priggish with his attitude. He believed in the British Empire and how important it was to maintain that for the rest. He had a stiff upper lip. And he made sure that everybody knew he was conservative, he was traditional. In fact, he was that conservative when his wife raised her dress to see her ankles, he was absolutely shocked and told her to get a longer dress. That's how conservative he was. He was known for being a staunch follower of the British way. And he was to see so many things change over his time when he was reigning within the British Empire. There was rebellion in Ireland in 1916. There was the post-war decolonization. Places like Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and South Africa was seeking self-governance. And so he had to establish the Commonwealth of Nations in 1931. India also left the Commonwealth in 1935, left self-governant. This tyrant, this person who was priggish, and he was excessive. He had some weird habits and weird hang-ups. And everybody knew him as hard. Even still, God worked in this person's life. In fact, I had a hard time finding some redeemable qualities in this king for our sermon today. I had a hard time finding a place that we could relate to, apart from when the nation was to go to war in 1914 at the First World War. He and Winston Churchill were standing on the balcony looking over the subjects in London, and he was just about to go to war. Winston Churchill was there, and he was heard to say, "God bless United Kingdom and indeed Bertie." Now, you remember Bertie was from last week. Bertie was his son who he treated really poorly, but at least he said, "God bless Bertie." He asked God to bless his son, who apparently he didn't treat too well. But he asked God. What are you asking God for? Through all these kings and queens, what have you seen that they have asked God for? What have you seen that could possibly be something that you too could be asking for? What would you wish this king to pass on? Or what would you wish your father would have passed on to you if you were stepping into royalty? Would you pass on your hang-ups? Would you pass on your hurts or your habits to the next person to the throne? Solomon, King Solomon is our last in the series. King Solomon was to receive something from his father. Solomon was going to be the next king in line to David. Solomon was going to be the one to the throne. Of course, Solomon was the one that came from the ill-gotten wife Bathsheba. And David had promised to Bathsheba that Solomon would succeed him on the throne. He wasn't the oldest son, though. His brother, who was expected to join the throne, was Adonijah. And Adonijah was like, "Okay, I'm now king. Everybody, I'm king. Let everybody know I'm king." And Bathsheba got word of the fact that he was ascending himself to the throne. He got all his cronies around him, and he was going to go on the throne. And Bathsheba said, "No, no, no. Here and Nathan the prophet, go to King David and say, hey, what's up? This guy is not going on the throne." So he told him, David told him, "No, Solomon's going to go on the throne." So they had this great procession, this great parade, and they sang a song like the one we sang in the choir today. They sang this great song, and Zadok the priest came and anointed Solomon with the same oil that anointed David. And they anointed him, and they sang a great hymn in the streets. In fact, we still sing it now at the coronation of kings and queens. It's called Zadok the Priest. It's also the Champions League final kind of hymn that is sang at the beginning of a game. And it's called Zadok the Priest. And in this hymn and in this procession in our scriptures, it says, all the people went up after him, playing pipes and rejoicing greatly, so that the ground shook with the sound. So it was way more powerful than our choir, way more powerful than Palm Harbor. This ground shook. The ground shook as they processed in Solomon, playing pipes. So Solomon's the de facto. Solomon's the de facto king. He's in and he's ready to go. But of course, his father, David, is dying. And he summons him to his court and says to him, Come, I want to talk to you. I want to give you some wisdom. I want to pass over. So Solomon goes to David, his father. And I wonder what he's going to say. And he goes to his bed and goes to him, okay, Dad, what are you going to teach me about loving? What are you going to teach me about what I should learn? What are you going to teach me about leading people? How should I lead like you have? And you imagine him approaching his bed. And he says these words to him. He says to him, I'm going where everybody on earth must someday go. So David's death is approaching. And he gives this charge. I'm going one day where everyone else on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. He knew he was dying. He knew that most people die, and he believed that he would be resurrected like most Jews and be with God, Yahweh one day in his the full body resurrection, and he would be with God in glory one day. And he believed that. He says, I'm going that way. The first thing he says to him, he says, in our versions, it says, take courage and be a man. In other English versions, it says, be strong and courageous. You might have heard that before. That's the same thing that God said to Joshua when he was taken over from Moses, the great leader, one of our patriarchs. Imagine stepping in those shoes. He says to him, take courage. Be of heart. In fact, in Joshua, in the first chapter, he says it 6 times. It's a tradition that God says, it's a tradition that God says to those who lead through difficult circumstances, take courage and be strong, be a man. And then he goes on to say, observe the requirements of the Lord your God, follow all his ways, keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses, so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. And if you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he's made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as long as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. By the way, the great succession of Solomon is the chapter before that. You should read that. 1 Kings chapter 1. And they're singing and shouting and praising. So Solomon's ready, goes to see David, and David says these beautiful words of wisdom. Take courage. Observe the law given to him in Deuteronomy and Exodus. Observe this. I know my life went best when I observed this. He says, keep the decrees and commands and regulations, the ones that Moses had with him. If you do this, then the Lord will keep your promise, and the descendants on the throne will still be with our line. So be a man, be strong, be of courage. This is something we should pass on to our sons and daughters, amen? This is something we should pass on to our grandsons and granddaughters. And if you haven't got any of those, get some nieces, adopt some uncle, or adopt some nephews, or get some kids that you can pour into. If you've figured it out, if you're a person who knows who Jesus is, who knows who God is, who knows the wisdom of the Lord, then pass it on to some other child, amen? He says, take courage. Be strong, be a man, be a woman, be somebody who is following after God's heart. Take these decrees, grow with them, run with them, because these are the best things for your life. And it seems like there's a lot on Solomon. He says, you got to keep these. It seems like there's no grace there. It seems like only Solomon can keep Israel, Israel. It's like all of our efforts to keep the law of God, all of our things that we do. It seems like only these things can keep our relationship with God. And then the rest of the chapter, he gives him this snippet of wisdom. Yay, David. David, a man after God's own heart. Yeah, man, I wish he was my father. But then he gives him what else he should do. Hey, here's my hurts, here's my hang-ups, and here's my habits. You ready? Kill these two people. Kill these two people. That's exactly what he says. You look on your scripture. I've got a hurt with these two people. I remember these two people. He's on his deathbed. He's dying. He's croaking away. And he says to him, hey, do this. Kill Joab and kill Shimei, because I remember what they did to me. Seriously, David is bitter on his deathbed. Kill these guys. Oh, by the way, be kind to the sons of Barzillai. They were really nice to me. And that priest Abiathar, be weary of him. And your brother, watch out for him. I don't know what you're going to say in your deathbed. I don't know what you're going to say when you pass on to glory. He starts to read his own press, Solomon. He starts to establish his kingdom. He does. He goes on and does what David told him to do. He carries out his hurts and hang-ups and hurts, and he does exactly what David tells him to do. He establishes his kingdom, and he gets so strong and powerful and wise that he even marries the Pharaoh's daughter. And then he starts to set up shrines in the sanctuary, shrines in the temple of other gods. He didn't stop worshiping God. He just added things that other people were worshiping too. He says, it's fine. This is great. And just when we thought Solomon was going purely downhill, he has a dream. And God meets him in a dream. God intervenes in his situation. And this is later on in your scripture. And in his dream, he says to him, what do you want? This is God to Solomon. What is it you want? So Solomon replies in the dream. He says, you show great and faithful love to your servant. This is in verse 6 of chapter 3. You've shown great faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on the throne. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? He'd messed up. He'd gone off the rails. And yet even in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings, God shows up and says, hey, what do you really want? And he says, I want to know the difference between right and wrong. This is in chapter 3, verse 9. I want to know the difference between right and wrong. What is it that you are going to pass on to your children, your grandchildren? What is it that when you are dying that people will say? Most importantly, that people look up to you. We had a funeral here last week. Sylvia Osborne passed sadly. But we had a great congregation here that was felt loved by Sylvia and knew exactly what Sylvia was pointing to. You may remember she wore a feather boa and a hat. She was the fashion queen of Palm Harbor. Everybody gave story and testimony of how she impacted their lives. But everybody knew, including her daughter and her grandchildren, everybody knew where Sylvia's life was pointing to. Everybody knew that there was nothing greater in Sylvia's life than for everybody she knew and everybody she impacted, and everybody gave testimony to this, that her life pointed to Jesus, amen? No matter what you've done in your life, no matter what you're embarrassed about, Solomon was obviously probably embarrassed about killing the people that David had told him to kill. No matter what past you have, about cares you have, hurts and habits and hang-ups, God says, ask me, what is it you really want? And when Solomon asked him that, he says, oh, I want to know the difference between right and wrong. I want to know in this situation, what is the difference between right and wrong? And in chapter 3, verse 9, God was pleased. God was pleased with him asking him. Now, I don't know King George V's heart. I don't know whether it was absolutely a sincere prayer that he said on the balcony in England. I don't know Solomon's heart in the scripture that we just read. But I know one thing. I know that God is pleased when we asked. I know that God is pleased when we ask him the difference between right and wrong. We need to know that today, amen? So today, I have a charge for you. No, I'm not dying, not yet. But I have a charge for you today. Here's my charge for you. Ask God. Write this down, open your phone, text it to yourself. If you've got notes on your phone, take a note on your phone right now. If you want to do the scribbling thing on a piece of paper, there's pieces of paper in front of you in the pew. Write this down. What situation are you in now that you need to know right from wrong? What situation do you know that you're in right now that you need to know right from wrong? Ask God what's right and what's wrong. And pass that on to your children. Pass that on to your children. Pass it on to your grandchildren, nieces and nephews that love you, hug you, and you don't even like do anything for them. But most of all, ask God and he will be pleased. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the stories of kings that inspire us. And we pray, Lord God, today that you would show us situations in our own lives that we can pass on to our children, pass on to our grandchildren. And that you would show us the difference between right and wrong. And that we ask you what that might be in our lives. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen.